may be seated.
Good morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. From Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5.
He relight the candles of hope and peace. Now we light the third candle of Advent wreath, the candle of joy.
Praise is acknowledging and celebrating the nature of God. Worship is our response to God through our actions and witness. Joy comes when we live out our faith in tangible ways.
Let us pray. O God, we praise and worship you not only in words, but in deeds. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. How many of you know that the name of Jesus is a wonderful name? Amen? It is a name that brings peace. It's a name that brings joy. It is a name that brings relief in the midst of the storm. What a wonderful name it is. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you saw Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer last night? Nobody? Nobody watched Rudolph. That's one of my favorites. Okay, all right. Okay, it's all right. But I've come to let you know that one of the greatest things that I love about God is that God is the one to decide who and how we are to be included in God's story. These past couple of weeks, Pastor Andrew and I have been sharing various topics under our sermon series, The Little Things. Week one's title was Noticing. And I shared with you about the shepherds who had noticed the angels that had come where they were in the fields and had announced the birth of Jesus. And they went and they were able to see for themselves the newborn babe. And with that, they returned to tell others, but not only to tell others, but to also give God glory. Last week, under the sermon topic, Waiting, we heard about Simeon, a man who had been waiting at the temple gate on a regular basis because he was told that the Son of God, the Messiah, would be brought there. He didn't know when, he didn't know how. He just knew that the babe was going to be brought there. And the blessing was that Simeon was patient. Now, mind you, depending on the day of the week, the hour and the moment will determine my patience level. I've also learned that the more that I pray and ask God for patience, the more scenarios or life experiences come along to test the patience God has now given me that I didn't have before. And yet, Simeon's patience was rewarded, and he was able to give God thanks and praise for what God had allowed him to behold, to be a part of God's greater story. And so today, we're going to continue our sermon series under the title, Including. And the roles that I've shared with you from the two previous weeks are actually part of today's message as we begin with our scripture located in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, starting at verse 57 through 66, and then verse 80. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There's no one in your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name his son. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who had heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Verse 80. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Friends, aren't you glad that God is the one who decides who and how we are to be included in God's story? Or if the neighbors and the relatives of Elizabeth and Zechariah had their way, John the Baptist would not have been John the Baptist. But because they were faithful and they listened to what the angel Gabriel had said to Zechariah, they named their child John. So often people want to determine the criteria for others to be included. And this reminds me of one of my favorite shows that was on last night that you all didn't watch. But it's okay. For you see, I believe that one of the delicate challenges of playwriters, story writers, and songwriters is being able to find individuals who are willing to share their vision and their story the way they would have it told. And the beauty of Rudolph coming on last night was a reminder that we had this little conversation a few months ago. Because this story was about Rudolph being excluded from the kids in the group, from being able to compete to be one of Santa's main reindeers later on in life. And he was actually titled a misfit. And we also had little Herbie, who was the elf who really didn't get joy out of making toys, but he wanted to be a dentist. And he too was labeled a misfit. And I love how God brings people in similar scenarios together. And so Herbie ended up running into Rudolph, and so they decided to run away together where they could fulfill their dreams. And you know how the story goes, and yet there's something beautiful about the point that the author didn't deviate from what he felt the main message should be in his story. And the same is true when it came to Elizabeth and Zechariah, as well as when it came to Mary and Joseph when Jesus was to be born. For the angel Gabriel visited Mary and Joseph after Gabriel had visited Zechariah, a priest, in the temple to let him know that his wife was going to have a son. Now, ladies, we know that once we get to a certain age, that party is over. And to have our husband come home and say, oh, by the way, Gabriel told me that you're going to have a baby, it'll be, what? Say, what? Nah. Really? And yet, Elizabeth held on to that mighty word. She felt that if anyone could do it, God could do it. But we also need to understand that Elizabeth was also considered a misfit in her day and time because she could not bear children, even though her husband was a priest. God's story of how one messenger could deliver messages to two different females, one a young girl and another very seasoned in her years, to let them know that you are going to be a part of the greatest story that will ever be told in this world. I would say the same is true in our lives. For God is the one to provide the inpouring into our lives, and that includes you and you and you. Our role or our part is then to get the message out to the larger body. For some of us, it could be our families. For others, our jobs. Others, it could be the community, and yes, there are occasions even to the church. Our roles in God's story or play or whichever works for you or son is done through inclusion. Somebody say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? First, our mere presence is a testament to our faith and our trust in God. Our very presence is a sign of us saying yes to God. And that when we understand that when God speaks to us and our response is to follow him, and in our heart we agree with what it is he is asking us, we are being included in God's story. One of the things that I like about the story of John as heard in verse 80 is that John didn't stay among the people when he was growing up. But he went and he lived in the wilderness away from the people so that he would not be impacted by the economical and the social and the religious order of that time. For you see, he knew he had a special message to deliver to the people, and it was not the message of the day of that society. And for those who know the story of John, we know that he came back wearing camel's hair. This is the closest I could get, folks. Belt around his waist, and he was walking around eating locusts or grasshoppers, depending on what translation you read, with honey. But God chose him to be the one who would deliver the message to the people about the one who would be coming, who was greater than he, the one who would be the Savior of the world. God chooses unlikely people to be a part of his story. Or phrased another way, God selects ordinary people to do extraordinary things. In looking at today's message, and I said, but wait a minute, God, there's a common thread that's going through this story if we go back and we look at it. For you see, Zechariah could not speak from the time the angel Gabriel had given him the message that his wife was to have a son and what his son's name was until the time he was able to affirm the message given to him to let the people know his son's name was going to be John. And after he gave those instructions, he then started glorifying God. If you remember, the shepherds glorified God after they got to see the baby Jesus. Simeon was able to glorify God once God had fulfilled his promise to him. And Zechariah also glorified God for what God had done in his and his wife's life through the baby John, later to be known as John the Baptist. This little thing, if you will, that so often is missed when we talk about the story of John the Baptist is something that is important to God's story, because God loves to hear our praise. Praising God and recognizing God's ability, but more so the fact that God includes us in his program, in his story, means a lot. Sometimes we say, well, I don't feel like praising today. But it's a little thing to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, because I've noticed that you've allowed me to wake up one more time and be a part of your creation. Thank you, Lord, because you spared my life in this accident. Thank you, Lord, because you still keep a hedge of protection around my household. Thank you, Lord, for loving me even when I don't feel like loving myself. Thank you, Lord, because you've been so good. That's all it is, folks. Little things that make the difference in one's life. Understanding that God is able to use anyone he chooses. We see examples of this throughout the Bible. People such as Moses and Abraham, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, Deborah, Lydia, Mary, Elizabeth. He was able to use people that others did not think could be used for such a task put before them. And yet God included them in his story. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago one of the quotes of Mother Teresa, who said, not everyone can do great things, but everyone can do small or little things with great love. One of the greatest little things we can do during this Advent season is to remember that God is the one who has written a story for all creation and humanity, and God wants to include us and others. Just as the writer of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer understood and knew what he wanted in the end of the story were Rudolph, Herbie, and the other misfits were included and were deemed valuable in the final story of that day. We too, who hear the story of the birth of Jesus, have the opportunity to know the desire of God to include others as seen through shepherds and angels, parents and a devoted man, along with baby Jesus and baby John, a barren woman and a priest. The question for us today is, are we willing to trust God and allow ourselves and others to be included through the little things, welcoming them, showing them God's love, letting them know that they too are part of creation? The question is, are you willing to include them in the little things? Amen and amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are the author. You are the one who began all of creation. You are the one who has gifted us and placed us in strategic places to be a part and included in your story. We thank you for the reminder yet again of the importance of a little baby, but also the importance of giving you joy, praise, and thanksgiving. We thank you most of all for the reminder in the story of the birth of your son Jesus, who has made it all possible and in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, please rise to your feet for our closing praise selection.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, oh, I believe that you are my fortress, and you are my portion, and you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, oh, I believe that you are provider, and you are protector, and you are the one I love. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't belong when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long. The way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Amen. Thank you so much, Praise Band, for just blessing us this morning. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. Before we leave, we invite you, those who are able, to join us at 11 a.m. for our cantata. But before that, we invite you to the fellowship hall for a time of fellowship, where you will find coffee. You also find holiday greeting cards, as well as some other things that are taking place in the life of Bethany. Amen. Now to the one who is able to keep us from falling, who is able to include us in the master plan, who is there standing at the throne, where there is majesty, dominion, power, and love, is Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, and go in peace.